Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
I titled this message, "Are You Ready?" It's not something I pulled from the file. I always pray and say, "Lord, what would you have me to share?" The Lord directed me to this passage of Scripture and to the outline that I'm going to share with you. And it's, I think, appropriate to start with one of my favorite stories about my dad. When my dad was a young man in his 20s, he was a student at Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. This was the 1930s. The Depression was full-blown. And Dad was working at the Ford plant there in Chicago in order to pay his way through and have a place to live. But crime was rampant. Dad had just worked a double shift and was on his way back home when he realized something. He'd made a commitment in one of the chapel services that he would try to share the gospel with at least one person each day. And Dad realized, "I didn't do that today. I worked a double shift and I didn't speak to anybody about the Lord." Well, there was only one other person in sight, and it was a fairly distinguished looking businessman standing there in a nice cashmere coat with his scarf and his briefcase in one hand and a carefully folded newspaper in the other. Just the epitome of someone who didn't lose his job during the Depression. And Dad, on the other hand, by 5 o'clock in the afternoon, needed a shave, and now it was late in the evening, and so Dad had, you know, a growth of beard on his face, and not a nice coat, but with the collar turned up, and he looked over at this man and thought, "This is my last chance." So Dad began inching toward the man, and the man would inch away. Every time Dad moved, the other man would kind of move back a little bit. They were both waiting for the streetcar to come and take them. And Dad was an introvert by nature, but he was determined to be obedient, share the gospel. So he again took another step toward the man. The man took another step away. Streetcar began to come into view, and Dad thought, "Well, it's now or never." So he stepped right over, got right in front of the man, and in a voice that wonderful deep bass voice that I cannot even adequately imitate. Dad said to this man, "Mister, are you ready to meet God?" The man sprinted and jumped into the streetcar while it was still moving, leaving my somewhat slow father to stand there and think, "What happened?" I like to believe that someday, after my dad got to heaven, he ran into that man who said, "I couldn't get your question out of my mind. I kept thinking about it, and I realized, no, I was not ready to meet God." I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you ready? Are you ready? Jesus says, "Be dressed and ready for service." Why? Why are we supposed to be focused on a life of service? Because the Master is going to return. And so Jesus tells those who believe in him, those who follow him, that we need to live a life of readiness for his return. When I was growing up, there was a sign over the door. As we left the house, we saw it each day. It said, "What if it were today? What if it were today?" Well, we knew. We didn't have to ask. What if the Lord should come today? There are going to be people who are going to say, you know, he's taking so long to come back, I guess I can just go ahead and do something else. And those people are going to be in a heap of trouble when the master returns. Jesus talks about his return coming like a thief, catching you off guard. And for those who are ready for his return, it is our hope. It is the blessed hope of the believer. But for those who are not ready for the Lord's return, it's catastrophe. Jesus speaks of his coming in terms of judgment. Now, the fact of the matter is, some of us may not be around when Jesus comes. I pray all the time, Maranatha, come quickly, Jesus. I long for the Lord's return. But I got a call while we were here this week that one of my dear friends had gone to be with the Lord unexpectedly during the night. He was in the hospital expecting to have surgery the next day, but they thought he was going to be okay. During the night, in ICU, suddenly he wasn't. And his wife got the call that he was gone. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet God? You can be. None of us is going to be ready to meet him on our own merits. But because God loved us so much that he sent Jesus, we are given his promise that those who trust in him have eternal life. Not might get it. We have eternal life. That is great news. That's why it's called the gospel, which means good news. You and I can be ready so that whenever the Lord returns, we're ready to die. I think it may be considered kind of crass, but that's because our culture's messed up. As Christians, we should be able to say, yes, I'm ready to go. Are you ready to die? But I've got another question for you. Are you ready to live? A number of years ago, one of my dear friends from this church, who's now in heaven, said to me, I was asking how things were going, and he said, well, we're doing pretty well, but we've got some friends who aren't. I said, I'm sorry. He said, Jim, there are quite a few folks here at the plantation who are now very concerned because it looks like they are outliving their resources. You see, they thought they would die at a reasonable age. Now, some of you may have noticed that what constitutes a reasonable age keeps getting pushed out by those of us who are getting older, you know. And when I turn 70, I will still be young, of course. We're young. It's those other people that are old. I grew up in a house with aged parents in their 60s, and my, aged, you got it, and they were the young people besides me. I was the only person in the house who was under 60 when I was a teenager. But my parents were the young people because we lived with my dad's older sister and my dad's mother. We moved in when grandmother turned 90. And I'll never forget my feeling so startled when my dad said he was going somewhere, and his mother said, well, Billy, put on a jacket. It looks chilly out there. I thought, the man's retired, and you're telling him to be sure and dress warmly because he's still your little boy. That's the way it works. But I have to ask you then, are you ready to live? What if you don't die anytime soon? I told my cardiologist years ago, before my heart surgery, I said, look, I'm not really concerned about prolonging my life. If I die, my wife's going to be fine. It's if I live that we could run out of money. Are you ready to live? You know the story of Isaac, how he called his son Esau to him, and he said, look, I'm going to die soon. And so I want you to go out and kill some wild game for me and prepare it the way that I like it and then serve it to me. And his wife wanted Jacob to get the blessing. So she said to Jacob, while Esau's out there, you go do what I say. And they deceived Isaac. What a horrible thing. And yet, did you know that Isaac lived another third of his life? He had gotten in bed because he'd lost his vision. And as far as he was concerned, if I can't see, I don't want to live. I'm not going to live. But I would like to have one more meal. So after his meal from Jacob, and then here comes Esau with another one for him, he realizes this is disaster. I've blessed the wrong kid. It was, by the way, a fulfillment of God's sovereign promise. God still makes promises and God still keeps promises. And I want you to know that if something goes wrong with your health, like it did with Isaac, it's not time to go to bed and just wait to die. God can use you even when you have physical challenges, even when you can't do what you used to do. Are you ready to live? If what you're depending on to live is what you've saved, you're in danger. Because in my Bible back at the ranch, that I use for preaching there, in that Bible, one of the things I have is a piece of currency from Zimbabwe. It's from about 2010, as I recall. And it's actual currency from that country. And if you read the currency, it's a $25 trillion note. Not billion, not million, trillion. A $25 trillion bill. It was, the day it was issued, it was worth about 25 US dollars. But by the next day, it was worth about $2.50. That's the most extreme example of hyperinflation I'm personally aware of. But what happened? Well, the government decided that they could solve the problems just by printing money. Fortunately, that could never happen here. Well, what happens if a government that you and I find out we're not in control of absolutely destroys the value of our savings? What then? If you're counting on your money for your security, you're in trouble. What if the stock market were to crash? Don't worry, it'll recover. Yeah, after you're dead. This guy is just brutal. Why is he talking like this? Is he trying to scare us? No. I'm here to tell you that if your security is in God, if you know that your heavenly Father has promised to take care of his children, then you don't have to be afraid. So I shouldn't care about the government? No, you should care about the government, and you should vote. But the solution is not in Washington, D.C., and it's not on Wall Street. It's not in Silicon Valley. It's not at the UN. Our security is in the Lord. And if your security is in him, then nothing can shake you. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled? Don't be afraid. God tells us over and over and over in his word, do not be afraid. Do not fear. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Well, what happens if a really bad time comes? You mean like the drought when Elijah had to live in a ravine because the king was out to kill him? That kind of situation? Well, I was hoping for something less dramatic, but okay, what did he do? Well, he went where God told him, and God sent ravens to bring him food every day. What kind of food was on the menu? Same thing every day. Manna again? No hamburgers. Why would you say such a thing? Well, because it may have been Chick-fil-A, I don't know. Here's what it says in the text. Meat and bread. Meat and bread. Day after day, God sent ravens bringing meat and bread. In my house, that would be a hamburger. Okay? I don't know. He may not have put the meat in the bread and eaten it that way. He may have eaten them separately. But if Elijah was anything like me, you put that meat in between the two pieces of bread. There you go. Also, just side note, not a vegan diet. And God sent the menu. There you go. Just so you know, I'm not saying anything bad about vegans, just that God isn't. Are you ready to live? Are you ready to live? Because if you are trying to make sure and control everything so that everything works out just as you planned, God will throw a wrench in there just to remind you that he's God and you're not. But if you hold things with an open hand and say, okay, God, I'm yours. Everything I have is yours. Whether I live or I die, I just want to do your will. For me to live is Christ, Paul says, and to die is gain. Hallelujah. So, are you ready to die? I hope so. Can be. Are you ready to live? I hope so. You can be. Just turn your life over to the Lord, and you can live with confidence. But there's a third question. Preachers always have to have 3 points. There's a third question. Are you ready to give? I didn't mind you talking about my living or dying, but please let's don't talk about my giving. Are you ready to give? This text that we heard this morning, God's word, falls immediately on the heels of something else in the same chapter. It's a story that Jesus told about a fellow. It's known famously as the parable of the rich fool. He told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God." And then Jesus says, "Therefore don't worry. And be ready." One of my favorite sermon illustrations I've ever heard was from me. I may have shared it here in years gone by, but we reached out yesterday to 3 of our adopted kids. Susan and I, after our 3 biological children were grown and the youngest had just started college, God put it in our heart to adopt 3 kids from an orphanage in Ukraine. Kids we'd never seen, but we'd heard about one of them, and we knew he needed to come. And the only way we could get him into our school was if we adopted him. And then it turned out he had 2 younger siblings, so that meant we weren't just adopting one, we were adopting 3. What a gift those kids have been in our lives. But one of the things that we learned was that when the oldest of those 3 children, who was 12 at the time this happened and 13 when we got him, when he learned that he was going to be adopted by a family in America, he began giving away all of his treasures. things that missionaries had given him and that he'd acquired by work, he began giving those to other kids in the orphanage because he knew that he was going to a better place. And he knew that all of his needs would be met. And so what he had, he didn't try and figure out how to get it to America. He gave it to others who were worse off than he was. Folks, that is a picture of how we're supposed to live. Do you really believe you're going to a better place? Or do you think you're just going to turn into compost? Is your treasure here? Or is it there? Jesus said, don't lay up for yourself treasures here. Instead, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Well, how do I do that? How do I get it there? You obediently give and serve others here. That's why Jesus said, be dressed, ready for service. We're supposed to be serving here, now. We're supposed to find people, Jesus says, who cannot repay us and give to them. The idea is not that I'm trying to buy my salvation. I can't. And if I think I can, I'm not going to be saved. But if I've been saved, if I've been made a child of God entirely by grace, then I have everything I need. And I can begin to share out of the abundance that God has given me with those who need something I have. I noticed that Jesus said, the problem with the rich guy was not that he was rich. The problem was he wasn't rich toward God. Jesus doesn't condemn wealth, but he does warn about its dangers. Are you rich toward God? I'm deeply grateful for the fact that this church has been very generous to our ministry. And I thank you for that. And I hope that along with your gifts comes a lot of prayer. But Jesus asked a question about the rich man. God said to the rich man, you're going to die tonight, and then who will get what you've prepared for yourself? We have a website, easiest website address in America, wvr.org. Isn't that nice? So short. wvr.org. If you go to that website and you click on legacy, it'll give you software to have a free will. Some of you say, well, I've got accountants and lawyers and all that, and they've done that. Good. But I know a lot of people who've never really gotten around to preparing a will. You don't have to include the ranch in your will. I'd love for you to, but you should prepare. Because if you don't, it's going to be harder on your loved ones. It's going to be great for the government. If you think they're the best stewards of your resources, you go right ahead and leave it to them. But if you want to prepare for the future, then I encourage you to plan, to prepare. If you prepare, then I know when I die where my assets are going, because we've made a plan. Our kids know because we've made a plan. I encourage you, always be ready. Always be ready. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the privilege of sharing with these dear folks. I pray that we would all be ready for whatever is coming. And I thank you that because of your grace in Christ Jesus, we can be. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.